Books in the Biz, a podcast that looks at both the financial and operational sides of success. Please welcome our hosts, Dan Paulson and Richard Veltre. Dan is the CEO of Envision Development International, and he works with leaders to increase sales and profits through great cultures with solid operations. Rich is CEO of the Veltre Group, and a financial strategist working with companies to manage their money more effectively. Now on to the podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Books of the Biz. I am here with my good friend, Rich. Rich, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Dan. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully. If I was any better, I'd be you. Actually, I'm kind of glad I'm not you right now, because at the time we're recording this, you are wrapping up tax season.
Yeah.
The latter part of tax season. So for those who don't know, we're just before October 15th, which is the last day for personal taxes if you filed an extension, correct?
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right. So while Rich is busy trying to collect information, he said, hey, let's get together and do one of these podcasts. So here we are. And today we're going to talk about something that is going to appeal maybe to part of the audience here, which is those who are buying a business. Yeah. Rich, we've talked in the past about this, and one of the issues that we both mentioned in the value of buying a business is sometimes when you buy a smaller, medium-sized business, that owner occupies a lot of space, we'll just say. They do a lot of different things in the organization. You have to replace that person with other skilled people, which we both know can be extremely expensive, especially since you're not replacing typically one person. You're replacing most of the times two to three, sometimes four key individuals in the organization to keep everything up and running.
Yep.
I'm just curious of your thoughts on, from a financial side, looking at from the CFO window, what's the recommendation you typically make to new business owners when it comes to hiring replacement talent, if you will?
I suggest to people that you get in and see what your needs actually are. So I'll give you an example. Multiple times I've seen companies come in, they buy a company. This especially is relevant when you're a brand new buyer. Like if you've never actually owned your own company or run your own company, then suddenly you come in and you buy one that's existing and running. If you don't know what you're looking at, assess, you know, get an idea of what's going on. Because what'll happen is someone's going to tell you at the water cooler, you need a CFO. Well, if the company doesn't have any financial function, the CFO might not be your first hire.
Mm.
And the reason being that CFO is supposed to be, big air quotes, supposed to be a strategist, supposed to be a forward looker, supposed to be setting policies that get him the numbers that he needs to be able to look forward, and not get bogged down in what's happened in the past. A little bit more of helping to steer the ship. And if you sit at the water cooler and somebody says you need a CFO and you hire the CFO, is the CFO going to actually do data entry? Is the CFO going to handle bills that come in and make sure they get paid? Is the CFO going to get involved in collecting your money? You know, if you don't know that these are the tasks you want, you know, that list sounds kind of long for one person, you know, and to hire someone that's at a higher level and then tell them, here's all these low-level tasks that nobody's doing, and now you have to do those. The problem is those bog that person down. They actually weigh them down to the point of not being able to do their original job. So you're now paying for this high-level person that you bought because you were suggested to do so at the water cooler. And then, you know, right below that, you know, he's now doing a lower-level job that you could have gotten done half the money, quarter of the money, you know. So it really becomes a bit of a take a minute and decide what it is that you want. Okay. There's a second part to that, which is if you are backed by private equity and you are buying a business and you buy that business from a founder, Okay. The founder does not understand the reporting requirements of being owned by a PE. Okay. So the fact that you walk in and now the PE wants forward-looking forecast. They want a budget. Right. They want a 13-week forecast. They want a handle on the cash. They want to know where every dollar is going. They want to know that you've taken care of making sure that all the bills got paid. You make sure that everybody knows, you know, this is the, you know, this is what you need to, what do you call it? This is what you need to collect next week because you have a payroll. You know, so all of these things, now the PE is now asking your CFO for that. He's not paying the bills. He's not doing the data entry. He's not making sure that the books are up to date because he's busy. It's not that he's not working. It's not that he's not doing the job. Now the question is, can he do the job? Because, right, you know, when he gets involved in doing something that's a reporting project that takes a week to set up because it's never been done before, who paid the bills for the week? So now you're behind somewhere. Now he'll go and catch all that stuff up, and now the reporting gets behind. So he goes back and forth, and now he's just kind of moving everything forward at a really slow pace. I said, you know, take three solo cups, turn them upside down on your desk, and move one about 6 inches, move another one about 3 inches, move one about a foot, right? Those are the three tasks you gave him. He can only move them a little bit each time,
right?
How does he get everything to the end at the same time without hiring other people? So, well, sorry. Soapbox.
Well, I think we're all on the same soapbox here. So from the operations side, I see similar things. I've been brought in, admittedly, to sometimes do the task management. So oftentimes what you're trying to do, though, is you're trying to get members of the team up to speed on doing specific tasks or duties. So in some cases, it might not necessarily be hiring new people. It might be getting the skill sets of the people you have to match the needs that the business has. And often, again, when you have, as you pointed out, a founder, and we know there are many founders out there that kind of have their hands in everything, they control everything that's going on, they might have people to do certain tasks, but they only do tasks to the limits that the founder allowed them to do. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that usually means that, you know, founders doing, I'll call it, 60 to 80% of the heavy lifting, the person that is supposed to be doing the task is just kind of doing some of the tactical work. They don't understand necessarily everything that they're doing or why they're doing it because the founder just says, this is what you need to do. So some of it is, yes, you need to hire new people, right people. Sometimes you need to hire to replace people who just don't have the capabilities to do the task that needs to be done. Other times, though, you need to train up. And as we talked in the last couple episodes here, it's getting harder and harder to train up because you have talented individuals with years of experience who are no longer active in the workforce. They're not looking for their next full-time job, if they're looking for a job at all. Right. They want something that's kind of stepping them out of that role. So it, to me, it's getting harder and harder to find, you know, the skill sets you need. It may be, as you point out, it's not a CFO. It's not a COO. It's not an executive level position. It could be a controller. It could be, in your case, a bookkeeper. In my case, it could be a manager or a supervisor that needs to either be trained or put into position. Because as you get to those C levels, I think most people lose sight of that is not doing the work. It's being that forward-looking individual saying, this is what we need to develop to make this company grow. Mm-hmm. And to me, that becomes more and more important, especially as companies are acquired. That talent, that internal talent at the top level, the founder is now gone. They had a lot of knowledge about the business. Now we got to replace them with somebody else.
Right. I agree with you there. I think that, you know, I, you know, lean towards the hiring someone. And it's skewed, right? It's skewed mm-hmm. because one of the jobs that I'm on now, I see all these things that are kind of happening. And I think in this particular case, there's no one in the finance function, like zero. Mm. So you have to hire someone. And the owners are focused on the C-suite. They're focused on the finance department. And I'm saying there's nobody for the finance department to have do anything. There's no one underneath them. So I've asked a couple times, you got to have somebody there. And their thought pattern is, you know, go for an outsource. Mm-hmm. You know, but they're going to go for an outsource that's overseas. And I'm saying, you know, why does that work? Are we going for the cheapest solution or are we going for the best solution? You know, which one is it? And I don't have an answer because they never answered the question.
Well, I think they, a lot of people just see stuff as either busy work or tasks. Mm-hmm. And there's enough marketing out there that says, well, you know, for example, AI, you know, there's things out there that AI can replace that are repetitive work, that are consistent work, that are mundane things that most people don't want to do anyway.
Yeah.
There still needs to be a knowledge base there, even to activate the AI. And I think kind of the same mentality, though, is, well, if we can get somebody, a live body, and we can get them overseas in Asia, India, wherever, and they can do it for a couple bucks a day, in some cases, depending upon what they're doing, isn't that a lot better than trying to find somebody here that you might be paying $30 to $40 an hour mm-hmm. to do the task, or even more?
Yeah, I think I like the idea of AI stepping in and helping out. I'm curious, though, like in the case that I'm working on, the system is old.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So AI is not necessarily going to connect to it, you know, because it's not built with AI in mind. It's not open architecture with AI in mind. So how do right. you get, you know, how do you get it to do what it wants to do? I'll give you a further example. It's very common, right? You buy a company from a founder, they will tell you what their sales are. They'll tell you who owes them money. They'll tell them how much money's in the bank, but they will never tell you how much they owe somebody else. So the accounts payable side of it is just not important to them. So if their margins are really good, that just means that they've paid all these bills. If their margins are not as good, the bills are sitting on his desk somewhere. They're just not addressing them. So the question becomes, that's one of the biggest things that's a taskmaster. That's one of the biggest yes. things that's going to be a task, you know, issue, right? It's going to be a task issue because you don't know what the tasks are because no one's handled them.
Right.
You know? So the biggest thing is then how do you change that? How do you change that mentality? And that's where I think I've seen there's all these systems out there now that will do accounts payable with an AI component. They'll actually do it where the bill can be sent to their system and OCR will actually look and try to pull most of the stuff off of the invoice for you. And then you just have to approve it to say that it's a valid bill and then it's in your system and ready to be paid.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe QuickBooks will do the same thing off receipts or whatever.
Yeah. QuickBooks is one. Ramp is another. Bill.com is another. Stamply is another. Stamply is one of my favorites, but it's very expensive. It's a bigger system setup.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, these are great, but they have to tie into the general ledger system. Like they have to tie into the accounting. Otherwise, what happens is you're processing everything out here and then somebody has to go enter it over here. So the chance for, number one, fat fingering things, like that's yep. what I always say, right? You know, your chance of fat fingering it, chance of actually duplicating something, chance of actually human error in between,
right?
You know, negates the advantage of the AI. So you have to have a base system that allows you to bring the stuff in automatically. Otherwise, you're going to wind up with another person. The entire goal here, okay, that gets derailed when people talk about price, because all they think about is, I'm not going to spend that $5,000. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it saves you $30,000 over the next 10 months.
Right.
Okay. But you only think about the $5,000. So you stop and say, no, I can't do that. That's just not going to happen. Okay. People got to get out of that mindset, because the fastest way for you to fix some of the stuff we're talking about today is to automate. But yes. Everybody knows the number, and they say, oh, I just, no, I'm not going to do that. It's got to be out of my pocket. No.
Okay. Well, same thing on the operation side. You know, you're not dealing with controllers or bookkeepers, but you're often dealing with leads or supervisors, or maybe it's just somebody who's been in the company a long time. So mm-hmm. I go around and start asking, well, where are our systems? And there were less tools in the past for documenting and managing systems than there are today. So if you're lucky, something's in a three-ring binder. 99% of the time, everything's in some guy's head who's been with the company for 20-some years that isn't the owner. Yeah. That is also probably approaching retirement age. Now what do you do? You got to extract that knowledge out of that individual who probably has never written down any of the systems, nor does that person know how to do so. And you have to put it in a format that can be editable, it can be updatable, it's a living document, it's not something on a three-ring binder sitting on a shelf somewhere. Because if there is anything documented, that's usually where it's at. And I remember one client, you know, we started talking about this stuff, and I asked him, well, you said you've got the systems for it. Where is it? Well, it's in a binder. Where's the binder? It took weeks, and he finally threw his hands up in the air and he said, I don't know where it is. So it's gone. Knowledge is lost. And yeah. It's still there because he has the people there. But if something happens to that person, and now think of it again in a sell situation where now the founder has sold the company to somebody else, you're hoping to retain that top talent. And we both know that while there's a certain grace period where the smart people will know not to touch anything unless it's dire need to be fixed, they'll leave things alone. Once you get past that process where you're starting to change, somebody who's 55, 60, 65 might be looking at this going, I don't need to do this anymore. I don't need to do this again. And they give you their notice and they walk out the door.
Yeah.
And now you've lost all that knowledge. How are you going to get that back? Are you going to be able to talk that person into coming back to work? Are you going to bring them back as a consultant? Now you're back in kind of the same scenario where, you know, you now have to pay somebody exponentially more to gain that knowledge that you already had internally. So there's a lot of that, I think, going around in companies that, while might be well run, were run by a singular person, not a team of people.
Yeah, I think I just lost train of thought. Hate that.
Brain went off the tracks.
Yeah, I think that with accounting, I think it's, I don't want to call it easy or simple, okay? But it's repetitive.
Yes.
If you go from one company to another, the processes should be baseline the same.
Right.
Okay. I always talk about, when I talk about accounts payable, I always talk about, you know, white, pink, and canary. And everybody goes, mm-hmm. What do you mean white, pink, and canary? Well, when everything was paper, you had a three-part paper that actually you put down what it was that you ordered. Okay.
Yeah.
White part. And then when it all came back to you that the stuff got delivered, you had a white part was the invoice, the pink part was the purchase order, and the canary part was the shipping proof.
Yep. Okay.
Go look at any one of these accounts payable systems. Okay. And they all have one of those three components. The only thing that's missing, colors.
Right.
Okay. The three documents have to be there or you don't have a valid payable. Okay. So systems can be replicated. Stop making it out like you're so unique.
Okay? Yes.
From an accounting side, these are relatively straightforward. And mm-hmm. I think it goes back a little bit to what we've been saying all along. Hire the right person. Okay.
Yep.
Because if someone doesn't know that, they're not the right person. Like if they don't know that those are the three pieces you need. And if after that, you know, you can look and say, do I really need a CFO person to say that? Or should the controller person be saying that? Should an ops person be saying that? Because the only way that that bill should even hit a finance person's desk is they should know that the canary part was received.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
So goes back to, do we have the right people? Did we pick the right people? Is our process of hiring the person the right process?
Yeah.
So, you know.
And often there isn't a process for hiring people, especially in small to medium-sized companies. Medium-sized, you start seeing a little bit more of that because they might have a dedicated HR person or they have a company that they've outsourced HR too. So there could be more built in there. You still have the issue with systems being in place though, and not having a lot of systems or having very inconsistent systems, I guess would be the good way to say it. Somebody does things one way, another person does something different because they're more comfortable doing it that way. But again, from a training standpoint, so, you know, you said from the accounting side, a lot of things are the same no matter where you go. I would say on the operation side, depending upon, again, the company and what industry they're in, I would say there's a lot of similarity there too. Accounting you have to do. You really don't have a choice because if you don't do accounting, that means you're also probably not paying your taxes or not paying your taxes accurately, which then leads to other issues down the road, which makes Rich really happy because then he makes lots of money. My end, again, you have people who kind of figured things out who then scattered that knowledge through basically word of mouth and stories. This is what you do. This is why you do it. If you don't do it this way, this machine will break. Okay, well, that's wonderful. But now, again, that one person has that knowledge. That knowledge is then misinterpreted multiple times. Inputs still get done. Raw materials go in one end. Finished product comes out the other. But is the quality the same? Is the consistency the same? Is the speed the same? All of that becomes a major concern, which, again, the new owner or PE is going to look at and say, why is our error rate so high? Why does it take it so long to produce this product? Because compared to other companies of our size, we should be producing this product in X amount of time. So there's a lot you have to look at when it comes to that. And that's where having a key person at the top level helps, but you still need the right individuals all the way down to the front line to do that. So that involves hiring right, involves training right, and sharing that knowledge with that team that's coming in. And to me, that's kind of the next phase of this is now you got to figure out how to do that. And for me, you know, doing that is you have to have a hiring system in place. You have to have some way to vet that person before they come on board in some way, shape, or form to see if they are capable of doing the task you're going to ask them to do. And then after you hire them, there's an onboarding and training process that needs to happen. Beyond that, there also then is a follow-up that needs to happen by a more experienced person who is again, transferring their knowledge to somebody else. And then that accountability piece, the final piece, is then testing to make sure that knowledge is transferred. In between is where all the documentation and systematization comes in that both you and I talk about. So as you're buying a company, you can't just look at what sales are, what profitability is, because assuming that that owner left and that the business isn't as turnkey as you think, there's going to be a lot of work you have to do on a team basis to really get that business ready to rock and roll without the owner being there.
Yeah. And I think it's an important piece to remind people that when we talk about system, we are not necessarily talking about an app or a piece of software or a subscription. Okay. System can be interchanged sometimes with process.
Correct.
And it's very important to realize that a lot of people lose a lot of money because they don't understand their process. So they think that this fancy bells and whistles app actually is the process that's going to work for them, but they don't test it. And then you sign up and you try to use it and it doesn't work for you. And you just wasted a couple of months of trying to get it to work.
Yep.
So process first, software second.
How many times have you seen companies that have spent money on software and only use 20 to 30% of the capabilities of that product?
I've seen it more times than I care to admit. I've seen it where we get involved and people are still paying for software that they haven't used in forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they haven't used it in forever yet. They're still paying for it because they're on a subscription contract. Or they just haven't looked and it's still sitting there and every month it's hitting their card and they don't know. Their accountants just say, oh, well, it was software. We know it's software. So we book it to software. Well, why are you renewing it every month? Why are you continuing to pay for it if you're not able to use it and it doesn't work? So months down the line, you realize I've been paying for the software forever. Try to get that refund back.
Yeah. Doesn't happen.
Nope.
Doesn't even come close. They're happy to take your money. If you're not using it, that's your problem. They will be more than happy to explain that to you.
Yeah.
So that's really where you or somebody else has to come in and look at the tools that they are currently using, determine if those tools are being used to their fullest capacity or if they are even the right fit. Because that is one quick way to stop the bleeding is if you've got something that you're paying a monthly or yearly subscription for, assess it and determine if that's something that you need to continue going forward.
Yeah.
So Rich, as we wrap up here, what's kind of your takeaways or what would you tell a new business owner are the first three steps they need to do?
Map your process. Insert your people around the process. And assess the level of person you need for each step of the process. So process, people, task, I think. It's probably
my I'd say mine is pretty consistent to yours. I would also add, so my three would be assess, step back, look, ask a lot of questions, and then from there determine, do you have the right structure to support that? If not, build the structure. From there, build the process and systems off that. So in line, I'm probably taking one step back from you and making sure, mm-hmm. do we have the right people in the right seats on the bus doing the right things, which often, again, takes a little bit of time to process. There are ways to speed up that process, though. And here's our shameless self-plug. Either Rich or I or both of us can come in and help do a value assessment of the business that you've acquired or are going to acquire to determine what work you need to do on that. Rich, what type of things would you do from that end?
Well, I think 9 times out of 10, I can identify the pieces of your system that, you know, that you don't have written down or you don't actually follow or understand. And I would implement some of those processes around, number one, calling them good financial controls, and number two, making you scalable. So the less that you have these in place, the harder it will be if you're seeking to sell at some point. You want to have these things in place so that you can say, my numbers are reliable because all my systems are followed. So without that, you're just going to flounder a bit. You might make money and put it in your pocket, but you know, are you going to get the big money when you sell it? I don't know. We'll find out, but I'm happy to help. I'm happy to help if I can.
And I take care of the other end. So I look at the people you have on your team, the systems and structures you have in place from, you know, personnel operations side. From there, we then get down to systems and process on the actual, I'll call it manufacturing side, whether it's in construction, whether it's in a service-based industry or whatever it might be. And then there, same thing. We make the determination, is this scalable or not? And if it's not scalable, what are the steps you need to take? So I encourage you to contact either myself or Rich. Rich, what's the best way to get a hold of you right now?
Send me an email, rveltry@veltrygroup.com.
And you can get a hold of me at danpaulsonletsgo.com. And I think we can make a slight announcement here that some things are going to be added to that in the near future. I'm shooting for October 1st that we're going to have a new opportunity, and we will share that in one of the upcoming episodes. But there could be a way that you might actually be able to get a hold of us at the same email address or a similar email address. So we'll be talking about that very soon. Rich, thank you again. Good luck on your finishing up the taxes for the end of the year, and we will chat next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care.
Talk to you later.